Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for listening. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys. You can become a fan on Facebook, or like, as they say now. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Thank you so much for your support. I want to apologize earlier. We had some technical difficulties, but we will be rescheduling the Kenny Garrett interview, so please stay tuned. Again, follow on Twitter. Become a fan on Facebook. You can also email me to get on the email list, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Again, I just want to extend my apologies. Sometimes things out of your control happen. But right now, True Blood fans, I know you're screaming out there. She's a wonderful actress, talented filmmaker, author, director. There's like so many things that I could give her, so many adjectives, but she's on the line right now. Oh, great. Okay, wonderful. Then everybody can hear us. We're on the air. Excellent. This morning has been a test of patience. Oh, my God. I needed to pray this morning. Can we all just hold hands and pray for a second? Thank you so much for calling in and doing the interview this morning, Tanya. Thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So I read the book. I want to read a little bit from your book before we start. It's a wonderful piece here. I think to me it felt like it was the essence of the book. What you were dealing with. It says, now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, Master, the one you love is ill. When Jesus heard this, he said, this illness is not an end in death, but it is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And then I'm going to go a little further. And it says, then Jesus said to Mary, your brother will rise. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I have come to believe. So I don't want to give away everything, but I think some of you who are familiar with the story, I think this is the essence of Tanya Wright's movie and book. You deal with so many issues in there. One of the big issues is death, how people deal with death. And you yourself were faced with that with your brother. Can you talk to the audience about that?
Sure. I think that death can be an opportunity for transformation, certainly by the people who are experiencing the death of a loved one. I think it's probably the most profound human emotion. That's the emotion of loss of another human being. You have to confront your own mortality. Among many, 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 many other things. And so, you know, it's also a doorway and a path to some, I think, extraordinary human opportunities. So it's something that, you know, I'm on a show that deals with dead and the undead. It is a sort of a recurring theme in my life, but sort of not in a morbid way.
Yes.
But more in an affirming sort of way.
Well, I think that's what your book kind of shows is that one of the characters, Lila, she was depressed and she turned to alcohol. I think a lot of people, there can be death, not just a human. It could be of your career. It could be of a marriage, which, you know, it could be of a relationship. Now, Rose had to deal with the death, in a sense, of her relationship with the guy Solomon. I mean, if you think about that, but she was in denial about it, but in a different way. You know what I mean? Her character was in denial about the death of her relationship, and Lila was, in a sense, not in denial, but just trying to not deal with it, of her brother, you know?
Right.
So in terms of the life-affirming, you deal with the spirituality with the character Lazarus. Talk to me about, did it come from the Bible? Is that where you first thought about the character, or was it some other place that you thought it was needed in the book and the movie?
Well, the book and the movie, Butterfly Rising, is a very contemporized take of the story of Mary and Martha in the Bible. Rose Johnson is the Mary, and the Lila Bell is the Martha. Though these two women are not like literal biological sisters, I think of them as sort of more metaphorical sisters, as women often are.
Yes. Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't matter what color we are, we all share a similar experience and relationship with men, relationship with the world, and relationship with each other and ourselves. So these two women take a road trip to meet this mythical medicine man named Lazarus of the Butterflies. And, you know, in the Bible, Lazarus is Mary and Martha's brother. But in Butterfly
right.
Rising, Lazarus is sort of the giver of dreams. And the man that will, really change the course of their lives.
What was the most difficult part for you in writing the film? What part do you think, or what character do you think was most difficult for you?
There were no difficult parts of this, you know. Quite honestly, this movie and this book and the screenplay sort of flowed like water. It was a very sort of cathartic experience for me. So the only difficulty was in not writing. You know, I tell people all the time, I write because I need to, not because I want to. Writing is very difficult. And I do it, you know, more out of a need, of a personal need. So often when I write something, and it usually is in these sort of fits of, like, fury, where I just, like, don't do anything except write. Like, I'm not acting.
Right.
I'm not talking to people. I'm not, I'm not talking on the phone. I'm not on the computer. I'm not doing anything but writing.
It's almost like a spiritual experience in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and usually when I'm done, I usually, it's almost like a feeling of coming out of a hot bath. It's very, very, very cathartic. So, yeah.
Let me read another part from your book. This is talking about when the women meet with Lazarus. The drumbeat loomed closer now, and Lila and Rose stood on the porch looking out toward the open road. He came in all white, beating a drum with dark skin and a wide smile. It was an odd image, two women on a porch looking at a mysterious man coming their way, beating a drum and trailed by a magnificent swarm of butterflies. Now, talk to me about the title here, Butterflies. You became obsessed with butterflies? What happened? Talk to me.
Yeah, after my brother died, for whatever reason, I just had this real interest in butterflies. I was captivated by them. I used to sort of make up these fantastical stories about them. I have a pretty wicked imagination. So I therefore live a very simple life, but everything, there's a lot that goes on in my mind. I developed this fascination with butterflies, and I just got on the internet and researched them and wanted to know where they went at night and their wingspan and what they ate and where they flew and why they flew and how they came
mm-hmm.
to be. And I realized that a lot of the metamorphosis of a butterfly is very similar to, you know, it is transformation, and it's something, you know, change, and it's something that that none of us escape in this world, you know, as human beings. We're all changing. Our cells
mm-hmm.
are changing, our thoughts are changing, our experiences, how we, you know, hopefully identify with experiences are changing. So I was very interested in that theme. So the butterfly and the rising have had to do with after change, because change is
mm-hmm.
not always easy, and it's sometimes actually quite painful. You can rise.
Definitely.
There's an opportunity
yeah.
to rise. And so that's how the title was born.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine about being in the valley, in a sense, in life sometimes. And at that moment, they were in the valley. But I said, you know, around you are all these mountains. You will get to the mountaintop again. And I even talked to my daughter about this flow of life, I feel. It's just up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's like, you know, you're surfing or riding the waves. And that's the skill of being able to know, okay, I'm going down right now. I'm dealing with the, you know, conflict or stress or drama or transformation, but I will rise again. You know, I think that is important for our youth to know. Now, what do you think you like more, acting or writing?
I get asked that all the time, you know. And really, it's like you don't pick your favorite child. I need both of them for very different reasons in my life. My writing fuels and assists my acting. My acting fuels and assists my writing. And, you know, I've lived in New York and Los Angeles. People ask me, which do you like better? Well, you know, I'm a native New Yorker. Obviously, you know, my heart beats New York. But there are wonderful things that I love about L.A., certainly the weather. And, you know, I mean, you know, there's so many things. So it's like I don't choose. I love them both equally and for different reasons.
Now, you have a lot of sexuality going on in the storyline here. The one character, Rose, I mean, she's just dripping the adjectives you use. I mean, she's dripping with sexuality, and she flaunts it and uses it freely, you know, and people are drawn to her, men and women. And then you also touched briefly on what I thought was interesting was the scene between Lila and Rose, where they become intimate, and then it's the question, well, Lila's a girl, am I a lesbian? And then Rose is like, oh, don't even worry about it. You know, some people feel, you know, you can't be bi, you can only be gay or you can be straight. I mean, what is your feeling on that? Because the character Rose is very fluid.
Right, she is very fluid. These women are heterosexual, and, yeah, I think that that's clear through the course of the book and the way that they decide to live their lives. There is a moment of intimacy between the two women. And, you know, it happens at a very pivotal scene in the book and in the movie where I think that the release of the pain, they're coming out of this very small town life and in a very oppressive world. These two women are very sort of oppressed. And this this journey to see Lazarus is really a release of their oppression. And when they arrive, you know, during the course of the road trip, they come to a lake. And, you know, my mind, lake is a metaphor. You know, it's really a symbol of
cleansing. Water.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, water. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, there's just a heightened level of emotion in that scene with the lake. And it's expressed through intimacy between the two women. And yeah, it's a moment, and then they both go their way.
Definitely. Well, an overarching theme in the book is love. Love for yourself, loving all the different parts of yourself, and loving other people as they are. You know, that's something very difficult, I think, for many people, is to accept people as they are in that moment, that they may or may not change, and this is it. The character Daniel that comes into the story dealing with Rose was able to deal with people where they are. You know, that's a skill. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have that skill now? Do you see that skill in others? What's your feeling?
Well,
about,
life forces you, and you know, if you want to wrestle with it, it forces you, you know, to help you to develop that skill. I feel like, you know, especially this year, I have been very interested in the theme of love, and I have been contemplating it a lot in my own life. And what I have found out about love is that it doesn't always look the way you think it should, but it doesn't mean that it is not. You know, it's not tidy, it's not perfect. And it's just a very complicated human thing. And so, yeah, it's
you
can, something
yeah,
that
you
I'm...
You don't know
I'm,
when it's going to come.
No, you don't know. Or with whom. You know?
Exactly, with whom,
yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So now, what's your next move now? You've done this, do you plan on another movie to create another film, another book?
I've got lots of movies. I've got a television series. Some of my stuff is being read. I can't say by who right at the moment, but you know, I have my fingers crossed. And there's opportunity for all kinds of things with Butterfly Rising. Sort of in talks with a couple of people about a couple of different things. So it's a very, very, very exciting time in my life. I have sacrificed many things to arrive at this moment, things that, you know, have made me uncomfortable. But I am so happy that I did, and that I'm here, and that I'm able to get this message of this book and this, this movie out into the world. Just, you know, really, really what I, it's been very healing for me, and I think it, it can be for other people too.
One of the things I read about that you did was a public service announcement dealing with AIDS. Talk to me how you got involved with that.
Yeah, an organization called the Black Leadership Commission on AIDS contracted me to do a series of public service announcements, and I was thinking about what I could do there, and I thought that I could utilize, you know, the strengths that I had with, you know, obviously African-American actors, which are, you know, my mm-hmm. friends who are on film and television, and I can use them, and you know, we don't often get to talk Shakespeare in the work that we do as actors
yes.
In Hollywood. So what I did was like link some Shakespearean pieces to AIDS and about, you know, how all the world's a stage, excuse me, a stage, and, you know, how we all have to play our part in this disease, AIDS. And it was really great fun. It was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think, I mean, nowadays young people are still not getting tested, not using protection. Even older people, they're finding a lot of older people are catching HIV/AIDS because they're thinking, well, I'm hooking up with an older person. I mean, how do you, in Hollywood, people are going from here to there. I mean, what's your opinion about trying to teach people about protecting yourself against AIDS and getting rid of the myths about AIDS, HIV/AIDS?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, there's a lot of education about AIDS that's, you know, out in the world, and it's sort of permeated our consciousness over, I guess, the last 20, 30 years. So that, you know, if people are engaging in this sort of risky behavior, I really I don't understand it. But, you know, we all have our lives and make our own choices. But you know what? AIDS is definitely out there and alive and well. And so it would be, you know, incumbent upon you to protect yourself. So, yeah.
Now, what's your favorite part of True Blood? What's some funny things that happened on True Blood since you've been on the series?
What I was going to say about True Blood is that first, you know, this is a family of people who are like really extremely talented in what they do. I mean, I marvel at the skill of like the writers and producers and really the crew, the really dedicated staff of people who work insanely crazy hours. You know, a lot of the show is taped at night, and the dedication. And, you know, I mean, it's funny things, you know, I love working with Ryan Kwanten, who plays Jason on the show. I think he's an
mm-hmm.
extraordinarily skilled comic actor. I think that, you know, working with him, you just really never know what he's going to do and a take, which makes things alive and a lot
keeps
of
keeps you on your toes and stuff. Yeah, keeps you on
yeah.
your toes.
Also, you know, I think about my
Go ahead.
I think about my first audition, also with True mm-hmm. Blood. That was very unexpected. I remember getting the script and preparing for it, and Kenya was written in a way that was just, you know, it's just like she was a little off center. She was quirky and funny, and I thought that that there were some things that I could play that the writers had written. I remember the audition very well with Alan Ball. And I remember doing the audition, and I remember them laughing in places that I didn't think were, like, funny. I don't know what I was doing. I was like, are they laughing at me? Are they laughing with me? Or what's going on in my face? I have no idea.
Right.
But, you know, it was a very fun audition. And, you know, and then, you know, actually I found out by the time I got to my car to drive home that I had already gotten the part. So, you know, television happens very, very quickly. And so...
Yeah.
It's just a lot of fun to work with.
Well, you've been very blessed, and I want to wish you much blessings, many more blessings and success. I have a lot of people in the chat room. Someone was asking, was there going to be a sequel to Butterfly Rising? Is that something we can see?
Well, it's interesting because the book spans the life of these women, their 70-year friendship, basically.
Yeah.
Until they take their last breath, which is together, which is a very sort of interesting moment. And then, but the movie focuses on the road trip. Now, you know, the movie is now actually literally in the hands of a distributor as of yesterday. And so there is an opportunity for at least two more movies to come from this book. I've done the first one, but like I said, there's a lot more material in the book than there is in the movie. So we shall see.
Yeah. We shall see. Well, thank you so much for coming on this morning. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties, kind of out of our control, I guess. But I do appreciate you calling in. I wish you much success. And hopefully stay in touch. Any new projects coming up, I'd love to have you back on the show to talk about them.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Have a wonderful Saturday.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Just got off the phone with actress, filmmaker, writer, director, activist, so on and so forth. Tanya Wright, please check out her website. I've posted it here in the chat room. It's also on my fan page, ButterflyRisingTheMovie.com. ButterflyRisingTheMovie.com. You can check out the movie trailer there. You can buy or purchase a copy of the book. I will be giving away a copy of the book, so become a fan. Follow on Twitter. You can send me an email, SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday, and thank you so much for supporting the show.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys. You going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.